Grace, mercy, and peace be given to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Changing into his image from glory to glory. What an exciting thought. What a huge potential. I thought of titling this message, Transformed into His Likeness, a Work in Progress. Just being part of this seminary community, getting into some of your dreams and aspirations, sharing with you some of my dreams and aspirations, again and again, the reality is impressed upon one how far yet we have to grow in the image of Christ. And here in this text, a contrast is drawn between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, between the Law and the Gospel, but the whole focus is on who this person of Jesus Christ is, the immense beauty of his person, and the possibility that you and I can move closer and closer into his image. It's rather interesting, isn't it, that in recent years, a very key term relative to life on seminary campuses is formation. This, incidentally, is a key word as far as a lot of the mission fields are concerned. Leadership formation, because somehow there has been a feeling that we do not begin to measure up as we ought into being, attaining, moving toward the image of Christ in our own lives. I'd like to focus with you particularly on the ends of this scripture reading that was read to us. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The initiator of this whole process of change is the Holy Spirit. The goal is to bring people into the image of Christ. And the result is a life that is patterned after our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever looked through this book of 2 Corinthians, actually beginning in the first, and noticed all the references that there are to Spirit? The life-giving Spirit, the Spirit who works in people, new creation. Actually, this word change, changing into his image from glory to glory, much stronger word than change. The original here is where the word metamorphosis comes about. It means huge change, dramatic change, supernatural change. Can you remember back when you first looked at a cocoon? you either rebelled against or you really liked that worm that was inside. And then for somebody to tell you that that was going to become a butterfly. When we talk about metamorphosis in this connection, we're talking about the dramatic change from death into life, from being slaves of sin into living in the liberty of the gospel. The initiator of this change is the Holy Spirit. The goal is to bring us into the image of Christ. And the result, for a little help on that, I'd like to turn to Galatians chapter 5, where Paul says, live by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How much do you see and feel that and work toward it as part of this seminary community? Brothers and sisters in Christ, colleagues and co-workers and sharers in this growing process of bringing ourselves into the image of Christ. That huge victory won upon the cross, where he took our dirt, our shame, our failure, and all these areas of life. They were nailed to the cross there with him. And then came the unbelievable news of the resurrection. And the further news that we are buried with him by baptism into death, that so like he walked in a newness of life, so also we can walk in newness of life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Total freedom. No boundaries to this love. No boundaries to this forgiveness, this kindness, this faithfulness. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. There's two other points I'd like to leave with us today. One, it is rather striking that both before this text and after it, Paul talks about being bold. Verse 12, the very first verse, he says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Luther translated that, we do not become tired. Others translate that, we continue with boldness. It's my first opportunity to speak to you from the pulpit since we hosted the Zwemer Institute of Muslim Studies, a major consultation on this campus in October. I want to thank you from all those who were here for the very generous reception that was given to these 130 people from all over North America, people actively working among Muslims. I still think back to when I first talked to Dr. Wente about this. He was so excited. He wanted to publicize this from the rooftops. because it was a consultation deserving of high publicity. Yet for all of those who have worked in the Muslim world, we're constantly wrestling with this business of when do we speak and when do we be silent, when do we shout from the rooftops, when do we quietly work behind the scenes? What does it mean to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves? Because almost daily we hear of Christian witnesses being silenced by the immense intimidation that the Muslim communities across the world are capable of generating. Some of us in this movement to try to carry the gospel to every Muslim in this country are saying we have to learn to be bolder. But those of us on the front lines can't be bold unless you who are part of the church are going to help us give the answers to Muslims as to why we believe that we have something to offer to them. Just studying through this text again, I'm reminded of the examples of great boldness on the part of Peter, John, the others, and many today in the Muslim world who suffer great consequence because they are bold for the gospel. But I want to remind you that when we're bold, we also have to be bold with kindness, bold with a generous heart, bold with a loveness that just reflects the image of Christ. Then finally, my wife has just finished a book. She says I have to read it. It's called The Poisonwood Bible, written by a lady, Barbara Kingsolver. Talks about a missionary couple who went to the Congo in the late 50s. And their struggles there. It's written by the wife and the four children, all of whom lost their faith while living with their missionary father. This lady, she writes with keen imagination and beautiful usage of words. She talks about first ending up in the Congo, and she says, I had washed up there on the riptide of my husband's confidence and the undertow of my children's needs. And my husband, why, hell hath no fury like a Baptist preacher. I married a man who could never love me, probably. It would have trespassed on his devotion to all mankind. I know Valentine's Day is not an official church holiday, but sometimes we're pulled along with the world into expectations by husband, wife, children. You men who have this call into the ministry, don't forget to live also in the image of Christ to the wife that you've dragged along with you to this place. Let her know that you love her and take time to love her as the Lord God always loves us. May the Holy Spirit be powerful in you this week as you let your heart be open to this ongoing process of metamorphosis, changing us into Christ's image. Amen. Now may the peace and power of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.